EAA says AirVenture attendance was up. The airlines urge Congress to continue development of alternative fuels. And Virgin Galactic gets its first chief financial officer. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2011. EAA says final numbers on AirVenture Oshkosh 2011 are still a few days away, but has posted an estimated attendance increase of 4% from 2010, an estimate of more than 10,000 and as many as 12,000 aircraft on the field, a total of more than 2,500 show planes, 800-plus exhibitors, and about 2,000 registered international visitors from 62 countries. Highlights this year included the first public showcase of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner in the U.S. on Friday, the night air show and fireworks featuring the Wall of Fire on Saturday, the appearance of the world's only airworthy B-29 Superfortress, Fifi, the centennial of naval aviation all week, tributes to Burt Rutan and Bob Hoover, and entertainment that included REO Speedwagon, Aaron Tippin, and Gary Sinise and the Lieutenant Dan Band. Plans are already underway for next year. 2012 will celebrate the 60th anniversary celebration of the annual EAA fly-in convention, the 75th anniversary of the Piper Cub, a reunion of Tuskegee Airmen with filmmaker George Lucas returning to present his upcoming film, Red Tails, a salute to Richard Van Grunsven, designer of the wildly popular Vans RV series aircraft, and a night air show and fireworks featuring the Wall of Fire on Saturday, July 28th. From a completely subjective view, it was great to see big crowds, even on rainy days this year. Gyroplanes from Germany's Autogyro and Michigan-based AeroWorks International created lots of interest last week at AirVenture, but opportunities to actually see them fly at Oshkosh were very limited. Both companies have now made the trek to Mentone, Indiana for this week. That's about 300 miles by road or 200 by air from Oshkosh, to take part in the Popular Rotorcraft Association's 49th annual convention, where small rotorcraft get to fly all day, every day. PRA owns the Mentone Airport, which sits idle most of the rest of the year, and purchased it specifically to ensure a rotorcraft-friendly environment for its international convention each year. The event officially opens today, and a number of early birds were already arriving yesterday. A week of flying, educational forums, and camaraderie will close Saturday evening with an awards banquet held under a large tent on the field. An innovation which proved highly successful in 2010, the inclusion of powered parachute enthusiasts, will grow substantially this year. More than 100 PPC owners registered in advance to attend. The PPCs do most of their flying during periods of low wind in the morning and around dusk, and the gyroplanes, which are better suited to and more fun in moderate winds, fill the sky through the remainder of the day. Also expected this year are a number of helicycle and mosquito single-seat helicopters. There will be daily cross-country breakfast flights to Fulton County Airport in Rochester, Indiana, about 7 nautical miles away. The Popular Rotorcraft Association was started in 1962 by Dr. Igor Benson as a type club for owners of the original Benson gyrocopter. The organization will celebrate its golden anniversary in 2012. Find more information on the organization, the convention, and the PRA Mentone Airport at www.pra.org. Two veteran pilots were fatally injured Saturday when the replica Wright B Flyer they were on board went down during a test flight. One of them was a former president of the Wright B Flyer nonprofit organization which had built the aircraft. The plane was the organization's Silver Bird. The Dayton Daily News reports that authorities have identified the pilots as Don Gum and Mitchell Carey. Both lived in Greene County, Ohio, and were members of the group's board of trustees. The paper reports a witness who lives nearby said he heard the engine cut off, then accelerate and backfire before it went down in a field near the Clark-Greene County line at about 11 a.m. local time. Authorities said that all-terrain vehicles were needed to reach the site. The first person on the scene said the airplane looked as if it had crumbled into itself. He called out to the pilots but got no response. The flight had originated at Beckley Municipal Airport in Springfield, Ohio, where all the flight testing was taking place. It was about 25 hours into its required 40 hours of test flying. A mid-air collision Saturday afternoon killed 4 people in Alaska as 2 float planes collided about 90 miles northeast of Anchorage near Amber Lake in the Trapper Creek area. One of the aircraft, a Cessna 180, crashed and caught fire following the collision. The other, reported to be a Cessna 206, where the pilot executed an emergency landing. MSNBC reports that the pilot, 56-year-old Kevin Earp, was alone in the plane and not injured. There was reportedly substantial damage to the floats of the 206 caused by making a wheels-up landing on pavement. No other details of the damage to the 206 were immediately available. While the general aviation world was focused on Oshkosh last week, representatives of the Air Transport Association of America testified Thursday before the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation on the needs, challenges, and opportunities for alternative jet fuels. ATA says the steady rise of jet fuel prices and unprecedented price volatility in recent years has had a tremendous negative impact, not only on the airlines and their employees, but also on the customers and communities they serve. Fuel remains the airline's largest cost center, representing about one-third of operating expenses. Despite the consumption of 3.1 billion fewer gallons of jet fuel in 2010 than in 2000, U.S. airlines spent $22 billion more for that fuel. ATA Senior VP Sharon Pinkerton says, quote, "We urge Congress to maintain and expand existing programs that have been effective in supporting development of alternative aviation fuels, enact government policies that are technology and feedstock neutral, and encourage fuel development that provides near-term emissions benefits," unquote. Sir Richard Branson has announced that Kenneth H. Sunshine will be Virgin Galactic's first chief financial officer. Prior to joining Virgin Galactic, Sunshine served as chief financial officer at MDA Information Systems. He has also previously worked as a CFO at the National Institute of Aerospace, at Aurora Flight Sciences, as senior VP of finance at Orbital Science Corporation, and as an engineer at Draper Laboratories. Sunshine got an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and an engineering degree from Tufts University. Of his new challenge, Sunshine says, quote, "I very much look forward to playing a full part in bringing this incredible project to fruition, with a particular focus on its commercial success, not only to deliver value to our shareholders, but to help pave the way for a new and thriving industry," unquote. Up next on ANN, the most novel Cessna Pilot Center of all buys a Piper. Sport Air USA is offering hot-rodded Rotax 912s. And the Tuskegee Airmen may finally get their due. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. A new Piper Seminole twin will join Redbird Flight Simulation's innovative aviation research and development lab beginning in the first quarter of 2012. Delivery of the training aircraft is set to occur next spring. Qatar Piper Sales closed the sale at Oshkosh last week. Redbird Skyport will be located in San Marcos, Texas. The Skyport Laboratory is dedicated to developing new ways of doing pilot training to help reduce the cost of training, reduce the time required, and improve safety. The team is focused on creating new and innovative curriculum to help make flight training accessible to more individuals. Skyport Lab General Manager Roger Sharp called the Seminole, quote, "ideally suited to meet our mission, and it will enable us to develop real-world solutions to the challenges of flight training today," unquote. Redbird Skyport will open on November 8th. Skyport is the culmination of the efforts of Redbird Flight Simulations and King Schools and is supported by GAMA, AOPA, and other industry partners. The lab will include a full-service FBO, flight school, and aviation experience center. Especially interesting in light of the purchase of the Seminole, the Skyport is a Cessna pilot center, but Cessna no longer manufactures any piston twins. Sport Air USA, an American marketer and distributor of light sport aircraft, has announced a new option for light plane owners who appreciate the Rotax 900 series engines, but need a little more oomph. EPA power engines and performance parts are now available for Rotax power plants through Sport Air USA, which is currently offering the Dallaire FR100 light sport aerobat, featuring a version of the 912 which makes 130 horsepower. The EPA Power SAR915i is a 130-horsepower competition engine built on the Rotax 900 series base with 1,484cc displacement, electronic fuel injection, Gen 2 auxiliary 26-amp alternator, 4-into-1 exhaust, fully balanced and polished. An inverted oil system is optional. Other variants of the engine are also available. The 26-amp Gen 2 coaxial alternator is mounted coaxially with the existing alternator, operates at true engine speed rather than reduced propeller speed, and offers dependable power even when operating at or near engine idle under high electrical load. The alternator is available separately as an aftermarket improvement to owners of Rotax-powered experimental or production aircraft. Swift Enterprises and Electroair say they've signed a testing agreement. For the last 5 years, Swift Enterprises has been developing 100SF, a high-octane unleaded replacement for 100 low-lead aviation fuel that meets grade UL-102 of the newly published ASTM D7719 standard specification for high-octane unleaded test fuel. Swift's Cessna 150, which has a four-cylinder Continental 0200A engine, will be fitted with an Electroair direct-fire ignition system to further augment the increased fuel economy produced by using 100SF. It's noteworthy that the Continental 0200 can and has flown unmodified on UL-102. Swift flew its Cessna 150 to AirVenture this year on 100% Swift fuel and displayed it outside the Innovation Center. Electroair has recently earned an STC for a pure electronic ignition system on all four-cylinder Lycoming aviation engines. The U.S. Forest Service says it has terminated its contract with Aero Union of Sacramento, California, because the company was found by the FAA to have been out of compliance with its mandated structural inspection program requirements. The company was providing 6 air tankers under exclusive use contracts to the Forest Service. The service says it has access to additional aviation assets to meet its operational needs. And finally today, the Lucasfilm production of Red Tails, described by its producers as a high-flying action epic inspired by the heroic exploits of the first all-African-American aerial combat unit, will launch on January 20, 2012, released by 20th Century Fox. The film is produced by Rick McCallum and Charles Floyd Johnson and directed by Anthony Hemingway, who commented, quote, "To be selected by George Lucas and Rick to direct this film was more than my wildest dreams come true. It's been a blessing to work with them, along with the amazingly talented artists at Industrial Light and Magic. I've grown a lot on many levels from this experience. As director, I had the fortune to work with a highly skilled crew from the Czech Republic, UK, and the US, along with a remarkably talented group of actors. The resonant beauty, strength, and dedication of our heroes is reflected in the powerful ensemble cast," unquote. Lucas says he's wanted to do the film for years, quote, "so it is especially gratifying to see it all come together. It's been a real pleasure to work with Anthony and the extraordinary cast on a project that we all passionately believe in. The Tuskegee Airmen were such superb pilots that it was essential for us to create visual effects that would live up to their heroism and put audiences in the cockpit with them. They were only in their early 20s when they performed these amazing feats. They became the best of the best, top guns. It's an honor to bring to the screen a story inspired by their heroics," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.